Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, this is Genuinely Grace. Welcome to the podcast. Lovely to be with you after an amazingly sunny week. It's been absolutely gorgeous in the UK, hasn't it? So grateful for that sunshine, to be able to get a bit of vitamin D. I interviewed Patrick Holford. I may have mentioned this. Fascinating guy. I'll tell you how you can listen to that interview in a while. But he was saying, you know, we really need vitamin D so much. I mean, all of us, and particularly if we want to boost our immunity, and who doesn't? And he suggests, you know, getting a bit of sunshine. I mean, not to burn your skin, obviously, but get, you know, 20, 30 minutes of sunshine. And his expression was, expose as much of your skin as you can without being arrested. But I suppose for most of us, we're in the garden or on the balcony or whatever anyway. It's been really lovely, I think, to be able to get some sunshine. So I hope you're well and you're coping, and whatever's going on for you, you're doing all right. By the time you listen to this podcast, things may have changed a little bit in the UK. We've got a big announcement on Sunday. So who knows, this time next week, things may have eased a little. I don't know. Let's see what happens. I've managed to have a slightly more productive week, I'm pleased to say. I've been, kind of beavering away, really busy, getting a few chapters of my book written. So I'm pleased with myself on that. And I've also finally got a new kind of playlist on my YouTube channel. So I'd love it if you wanted to go and subscribe to that. So if you go to YouTube and type Genuinely Grace, and then you want to look at the playlist, I've called it Imperfectly Natural Health and Wellbeing Lockdown Series. So this is not necessarily podcast stuff and Sober Club related stuff, although there's a playlist for that as well coming. This is really just a way of sharing some of the interviews that I've been doing lately around health and well-being that I haven't necessarily kind of had an outlet for. They're not exactly right necessarily for the podcast, but I'm guessing that the majority of people who listen to the podcast also will be really, really interested in these experts talking about sort of natural health and well-being. So hopefully you'll really find something of interest there. So there's a few videos uploaded already. One with Zoe Harkham, who I've mentioned before. She's just absolutely queen of real food, really. They're talking about the power of food. And so, you know, we've come so far away from that, you know. you see people kind of social distancing in supermarkets and being really careful to sort of wash their hands and put a mask on, and you know, they're really thinking about their health, it would appear, or they're thinking about staying safe, but they're actually you know, got their supermarket trolley full of you know, absolute crap. And I'm not trying to be judgmental. It's difficult for some people, but actually the truth of it is we can all take responsibility and eat some healthy foods. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money at all. It really doesn't. So anyways, Zoe's your girl for that. She's really fantastic. You'll love Zoe's work. So there's an interview with Zoe. There's an interview which is audio only, but nevertheless, great opportunity to hear this interview with Patrick Holford, who I've already mentioned. He's written a book called Flu Fighters. Really interesting take on how we can all just boost our own health and well-being, take back that responsibility. And again, Dr. Sarah Myhill, similarly, she talks about the importance of vitamin C and iodine, old style iodine. That's not a word. I don't think I've heard that word since my old grandma used to talk about iodine. Anyways, so there's a whole bunch of interviews there, just hitting the mic there. So if you go to youtube.com, Genuinely Grace, and click on that playlist, which is called Imperfectly Natural Health and Wellbeing Lockdown series. And then, as I say, there'll also be a Sober Club series coming soon. If you look around the channel, there's also some fun stuff from my dim and distant past, some singing videos and some various videos from me on the telly and stuff from ages ago. Anyways, I thought it was time that got updated. So that at least is one productive thing that's come out of lockdown. In the Sober Club this week, we've had some, you know, again, I think I mentioned last week, there's people kind of really after quite a long time of feeling quite solid in their sobriety have been tripped up. It's sort of happening again and again. I read that Denise Welsh was saying that she... I mean, she's been sober for years, hasn't she? And she was saying that she's found this time harder than ever. You know, she's stayed sober, but those thoughts have been coming in. It's just so unusual. The times are so unusual. We're so uncertain, and it kind of does that. I suppose our unconscious minds just do that thing of reverting back to what felt safe, you know. On that note, talking about the unconscious mind, that's a good lead in to my guests this week. We're talking about NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. I'm sure that you've all come across it one way or another. It just has so many amazing kind of applications, really. I won't explain it because my guests will do that. But I think when you hear Joe and Andy talk, you'll really get a sense of how some of these very simple to use kind of techniques and tips can really help you with behavior change. So if you are in the early stages of ditching the booze, there's some fantastic you know, tips and suggestions and things you can do. But it could be any other behavior change. Joe and Andy did a great piece for us, for Sober Club members, about anchoring and how we can really sort of anchor a feeling so we can get back to whatever state we want to feel. You know, if we really want to feel happy or calm and we aren't, then we can get back to that. So I've known Andy and Joe for years, actually. Andy Coley and Joe Wilson. They are NLP, well, absolute experts. They're NLP trainers, they're master practitioners, they're also hypnotherapists. They really know their stuff, and hopefully you'll enjoy this interview and get a sense of how you know, you might be able to use some of these tips for whatever, I don't know, improvement, I suppose is the best word, you want to make in your life moving forward. Enjoy the interview. I'm so pleased to be able to talk about NLP. It's something, a topic that I've been wanting to cover for so long. And I'm thrilled that my guests are Joe Wilson and Andy Coley, world-class trainers in neuro-linguistic programming, enabling those that they train to rid themselves of the things that hold them back and empower themselves to move forward with positive behavior and thought patterns. We love this. We love the whole idea of this. Andy and Joe, thank you so much for joining us. Do you want to just say hi from your respective homes where we're recording this? Joe first, hello.
Hi everybody, from my respective home at the moment is on the canal. I live on a boat and have a wonderful life, very calm and wonderful. So I'm actually on the Grand Union Canal at the moment.
How lovely, we're very jealous. Andy, what about you?
So I'm in southeast London, Hither Green near Lewisham. I'm thankful I have a home and a garden. I also have a very loving family. My home is sometimes probably a little bit less calm than Joe's.
just a little bit.
Especially at the moment with all this social distancing happening.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Everybody having to stay in the same four walls. So, but yeah, that's where I am as well. So I often ring Joe up and go, whereabouts are you at the moment, Joe? Which bit of the canal are you on?
Give me an idea of the water. Right, let's talk about NLP then. There will be people listening to this who have heard the phrase, of course. They may well be aware of some of the techniques, because they've sort of been coming to all kinds of teaching and leadership programs, and almost whatever work you do, you've probably come across some form of NLP. But there'll be plenty of people who don't know what it actually means and where it started. So I think it's great to get an understanding of that. So I don't know which of you want to answer this, but what is NLP? Andy, okay, you go for it, yeah?
So effectively, NLP, I guess, quite often we kind of break it down. And let's break it down into the three words first of all. So the neuro bit is, how do we take in and process information? And how does that information become our version of reality? Because we often say in NLP, there's no such thing as reality. There's just what we're perceiving about the information we're receiving from the outside. And of course, how does that then become the language, both the language we say to ourselves, the kind of that inner voice? Sometimes it can be absolutely fantastic and an amazing resource for us. And other times it may be a little bit critical of what we're saying about ourselves as well. And also the body language, the language that we use externally to other people. And of course, the patterns and programs, the P bit. You know, what are the patterns and programs we get caught up in life? And again, those strategies and those patterns can be amazingly resourceful. And other times they can be a little bit maybe destructive, even if we know they are. And so NLP is, in essence, the study of human excellence. Like, how do we become who we are as an individual for all of its amazing ability? And of course, sometimes the things that we'd like to change. So a lot of NLP was based on the principles of modeling. So we model the world around us, we model the people that are in our lives, our parents, our teachers, and we create who we become as people, particularly as we're growing up and we go from childhood into adolescence, into adulthood. And so NLP is, in essence, the study of us. How do I tick, how do I work, and how do I interact with the world?
I love it. So Joe, I mean, I know that you guys do a lot of training. You work with people in business and coaches and all kinds of stuff, but also individuals who just want to learn more about themselves, make their own lives better. And certainly within a lot of the work that I do with the Sober Club and sort of encouraging people to ditch the booze, this is one area where NLP, I mean, what an amazing resource for people who are literally trying to get a handle on their own behaviors, because so much of what we do is automatic, isn't it? And I guess this is where you're able to help people with so many different things going on.
Yeah, very much so, because what NLP does is it looks at actually what we're doing unconsciously as well as what we're doing consciously. Mm. And very often we just get into these patterns of behavior, these patterns of thought, that we just think that that's just how we are and that's just what happens. Mm. But NLP looks at some of the reasons why that's actually happening, how you're filtering stuff, what programs and strategies you're using. And then basically there's hundreds of tools within NLP that enables you to filter things differently, therefore think differently, and therefore feel differently, and therefore behave differently.
Yeah. So I know that obviously one thing that NLP is amazing for is unwanted behaviors. We're going to talk a bit more about that in a moment. But tell us some of the other things that this is hugely beneficial for. I mean, one thing that springs to mind is your relationships, you know, how you interact with other people. Because I find myself, you know, as a parent, let's just take that as an example, I find myself sort of parroting out stuff. And if I kind of notice what I've just said, I sometimes think, where did that even come from? It was an automatic saying, you know, and when I actually stop and think about it, if I do, I sometimes think, I wonder if I could have said that in a bit more of a helpful way to get what I want. Andy's a parent. I'm sure he's got something to say about that. But Joe, what's your kind of, you know, answer to that? How we can change these things that come out of our mouth kind of automatically?
Yeah, well, the thing is, when we communicate with other people, we tend to communicate from our own map, our way that we naturally communicate, and we naturally expect other people to communicate with us as well. And normally we might be communicating with an end result in mind, but we don't necessarily think about actually what's the best way to communicate with that individual. Every one of us have so many different preferences in terms of the way that we're going to communicate. We will also do things like, you know, someone could be in a really emotional state, and our natural thing is, particularly if we're a bit of a fixer, is to talk to them in a logical, well, the big thing that doesn't mix is logic and emotion. Mm. So NLP really teaches you how to communicate with the individual at that particular place that they are at that moment. It also enables you to put pauses in, so you can think about a little bit more about what's the best way of saying this. Mm. And in fact, what NLP is really good is to get you to ask amazingly good questions of people to get them to come up with the solution, them to come up with the answer, them to come up with the change of behavior, rather than you say you should do this. So it's got some really good, there's about 9 different communication models within NLP, dependent on what you're trying to achieve within the conversation, and also where the other person is at that time.
Andy, what would you say as a parent, having heard what I said about talking to my kids?
It's interesting. Even you asking me that as a parent is quite interesting to hear that, to hear it summarised like that. Because, I became a parent to 2 daughters in the last couple of years. And in fact, stepped out before that. But I recognised, and I was sharing this the other night on a webinar that we were running about the inner voice. I recognised that when I became a parent for myself, I suddenly had these innate models from my own parenting, and I literally could hear my parents, my dad, my mum, speak through me in my voice, like, where did that stuff come from? And of course, why wouldn't it be there? Because we were raised with those voices, we were raised with those expressions, those phrases. And it's just so interesting recognizing where those models and those sort of phraseologies can come from, and that sometimes they're not actually really what we mean or what we believe at that moment in time, because we've evolved past where those phrases came from.
Yeah.
And they might have suited our parents and their parenting style and the world and society at the time, but they're not who we are now. And so you definitely can hear yourself say those words and think, God, why did I say that stuff?
Yeah.
And the whole thing that we're doing when we're looking at, human behavior, how do you change yourself? How do you change your mind? Is going, well, I said it, now how can I reflect on where it came from, so that you can choose to do something different.
So it really is about becoming consciously aware of your own thoughts and actions. So the first step has to be to become aware of it. I mean, when I help people with ditching the booze, that's the very first thing that we have to do, of course, is we have to become consciously aware that of that voice that's coming in that's telling you, I need a drink or I want a drink. You have to really look at that and then ask the question, well, actually, do I? Because 5 minutes ago or whatever, I'd made the decision to stop. So I guess it all starts with that consciousness. So just tell us a bit more about what the first steps are when people are learning NLP then, because I can imagine people might be thinking, well, hold on a minute, I'm not gonna have time to analyze every single thought.
Often it's spotting patterns. We always say that it's spotting the patterns that come up. What are the things that you're frequently thinking or frequently doing? Start paying attention to those, because if we, and particularly as trainers and coaches, that's what we're spotting when we're working either one-to-one with people to help them, or when we're in a training environment, if we notice people's patterns. So if they keep saying something, or you keep doing something, or you keep noticing there is a trigger, something that happens that causes you to think you have to do something, like pick up a drink or have a certain thought pattern, or, remember times when, something happened. Those things are caused by triggers, and it's noticing those patterns and those triggers, and then start to, as you say, become more conscious about it. Now, being conscious about it doesn't mean you can necessarily change it if you don't know how to. And that's just a lack of knowledge, not a lack of being able to frequently.
I mean, what's amazing about this is it gives us back some control, doesn't it? So rather than having to feel lost in that, well, I'm just that kind of person and this happened to me and because of that, I'm angry or I'm this or I'm that, it gives us back, it throws back the responsibility actually on us to really look at our own behaviours and the stuff that we talk about. I guess that's why it must be amazing, Joe, maybe you can answer this, that you must have seen some incredible transformations in people who've gone from literally seemingly one personality to almost completely different person.
Yep, and I can hold my hand up if I just talk about myself in terms of...
Yeah, please do. Tell us the story.
Before I did my NLP, I was a workaholic. I was in, a very, very, very stressful career. I just got into a pattern of being Wonder Woman, of wearing the skirt and everything and, absolutely. And I just got into that pattern. I was a really good rescuer of my team at work, of my family, of everything else. It just became what I felt at that time was who I am. when I started my NLP training, I recognized so many things in my own behavior that was actually causing relationships, my marriage not to work as well as I wanted it to do. My own emotional well-being and physical well-being wasn't where I wanted it to be. And actually going through my initial NLP training, I made some major changes in my life. I basically completely changed career, changed the whole way I live. And through my NLP journey, I've changed everything. Like I said, I now live on a boat. I have a really peaceful, calm life. I run a business that I love running. I'm in a relationship that fulfills me. So for me, going through the NLP journey, as we say, allowed me to make some major changes to me and how I cope with things, how I respect my own emotions rather than put them away and lock them up, and just my own behaviors as well. And we see so many people come on to the training and make some major shifts. Some of them make major shifts in terms of their career. Some of them make major shifts in terms of their relationships. Some of them just make major shifts in terms of how they handle life.
Mm. Which will lead to to more happiness, I suppose, and more contentment.
Absolutely. Contentment, really. Mm. I think, and that's the thing, it's that contentment, that understanding yourself, that getting that contentment and not being reliant on other things around you. We talk in NLP about being at cause and effect. And when you're at effect, you're very much reliant on other people, surroundings, situations to feed you. And actually the most empowering place is to be at cause, where you're in control. Mm. You're in control of your own behaviors, your own emotions, and your own thought patterns. And that's where NLP really makes a massive difference.
Mm. Where does things like sort of mindfulness and meditation fit in at all, if it does? Because, I'm thinking as you're talking that this, a lot of this is about making sure you're in the present moment rather than wandering off in your mind to something in the future that may or may not happen.
NLP does look at forward as well. Okay, so mindfulness, the great thing about NLP is, and we sort of, don't give any excuse for it. The great thing about NLP is because it's based on modeling. When the two founders, Grinder and Bandler, started off looking at NLP in the late 1970s, they actually started modeling, Milton Erickson, Virginia Satir, lots of different
just before you go any further, just explain what you mean by modeling in case somebody's just got a vision of a catwalk.
Bit of plasticity. So basically what modeling is, if you try and teach someone a skill, you are teaching it from your perspective, in your language, from your perspective. Modeling enables you to basically be able to take a skill, an ability from somebody at a really deep level. Underneath, by observing, by asking the right questions, by really absorbing the energy and everything else that's going on for that person. So Bandler and Grinder started off by modeling some of the really, really top players in their field in psychological and sociological therapies, and started actually picking out the difference that made the difference for them. And NLP has continued to grow by taking lots of different sociological and psychological theories and methodology to bring it into a really nice, easy, I hate the word, but toolbox that you can kind of utilize and do. And in fact, when you get to master practitioner level on NLP, you learn how to model other people and other skills and other abilities and other ways of being as well at that really, really deep level.
Yeah.
So NLP does take some of the mindfulness principles and the meditation principles about being aware, being in the now, recognizing what's going on for you. It does also look at future outcomes and gives you some great ways to plan where you want to be and look to the future and set outcomes and everything as well. And it does so by also recognizing your unhelpful thought patterns and behaviors in the now that will affect the future.
Andy, you mentioned body language is one sort of aspect of this, and again with the little bits of NLP that I've picked up, I love the fact that we can actually sort of fake it till we make it. You probably don't use that expression, but we can actually adopt
certain body language, which will affect our thinking. You know, for example, when people are feeling really stressed and anxious, just to sort of adopt a power pose and actually look up changes things sort of physiologically, doesn't it? So explain to us a bit more about how we can notice and use our own body language.
Yeah, so this comes back to the principle of, as we're taking this information and we're creating what we call our reality, that reality affects our emotions. Those emotions actually affect our physiology, our body, you know, and affects our state. And those ultimately then come out through our behaviors. And those behaviors then, you know, the actions and reactions that we then subsequently do. So the principle of NLP is basically, not only can you change the way you filter the information, through maybe changing your thought process, making it more conscious, doing some things to actually reevaluate the way that you saw the past situations based on new bits of knowledge. But it also works on a physiological level. You know, what can you do to change your breathing so that actually you feel better? Now, many people out here who know, maybe if they do an exercise program, or even they do some Pilates or some meditation or some mindfulness, you know, by changing your breathing, that changes how you think and how you feel. Even changing your behaviors changes how you think and feel. And so each of these things, we are a connected system. And so therefore, by changing one part of it, it has a knock-on effect to the others. So this is often what we're talking about with body language. So by adopting a more powerful pose, you know, not only are you getting to feel more confident, you're standing more confidently, but it's actually lowering your cortisol by doing that and upping your testosterone. And so therefore, you are more likely to feel more confident. And so it's simple little changes, like maybe breathing deeper. We often talk about this when we're helping people to maybe get over a fear of presenting. That might be a fear of presenting online. That could be a fear of presenting, you know, at a conference or even to a group at their work. And we often say the power of breath. You know, you have this amazing parasympathetic nervous system that's there. It's designed to help you feel calmer. You know, by breathing deeply right into your belly, into your diaphragm, you trigger off this thing called the vagus nerve, and that helps to just make you feel calmer. Just taking 10 long deep breaths can help. So the whole of NLP is really about creating a gap, a bigger gap between something happening and then you responding. And in that gap becomes some conscious thought, or becomes a pause. So rather than just going and being triggered by something, you know, and immediately reacting to it without thinking about it, what NLP is allowing you to start to create through practice, you know, it's like any muscle, it needs retraining, but your brain is always retraining itself. It's always thinking new thoughts. It's always changing its mind. What NLP allows you to do is to do it with intent, to do it because you'd like to do it, or do it through guidance from, you know, somebody who knows how to utilize these principles when they're coaching with you. For me, that's the amazing power of NLP. Is it, and we often say shift happens. You know, you are literally changing your mind, and it's just brilliant about the way that that changing your mind really helps. And it takes practice. You know, your mind is like a grassy field. You know, you start walking that new thought pattern once, you have a small trail. But if you keep walking that same new thought pattern, you know, thinking about what you'd like to have rather than what you don't want, which is where we spend a lot of time. Oh, I don't want to drink. I don't want to worry. I don't want to fly off the handle. I don't want to be angry. The problem with what you don't want is it's everything that isn't what you do want.
You're just focusing on what you don't want. Absolutely.
Yeah, and what you don't want is everything that isn't what you do. So start focusing on what you do want. You know, focus on the trail and then keep walking the trail. And suddenly that trail gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it becomes a pathway. And that pathway soon, very easily through practice, becomes something much bigger. And that then becomes an automatic positive thought.
Yeah.
Positive thought fire off happy hormones. And negative thoughts fire off cortisol, which is much more of a stress hormone. So literally, by thinking happier thoughts and doing better behaviors, it helps to shift and change your mind.
Yeah. Joe, tell us a bit more about the inner critical voice. This is something that I talk about a lot, because when people are ditching the booze or changing any kind of habit that they want to change, that, you know, we have this voice in our head. I've said many times, I literally had a voice in my head, you know, telling me, oh, sod it, you know, just, you may as well, you're not worth it anyway. You know, just literally classic inner critic stuff. And most of us have this one way or another. I've often joked about the fact that, you know, most women, if they said out loud the stuff that they're thinking when they look in the mirror of a morning, you know, they'd probably be had for abuse, because you wouldn't talk to anyone else the way that you talk to yourself in your head. So tell us a bit about how NLP can help us tame that inner critic.
So with our critical inner voice, it's really interesting of how it's actually made up and what happens with it. And we do sort of like a number of categories of sort of cognitive distortions with it. So we can be really good at, our inner voice can be really good at catastrophizing. Mm-hmm. So for example, if I, you know, I've got a cup of tea here, if I picked up my cup of tea and went to drink it and dropped it, yeah, if my critical inner voice is great at catastrophizing, then it would be, oh my God, I'm absolutely stupid.
Yeah, I'm always stupid.
Yeah, I'm always. And it would make it into a big drama, yeah, rather than just the fact I've just dropped a cup of tea, yeah. Okay, it will also do things. It can be really good at black and white thinking, i.e. I'm either brilliant at something or I'm useless at something. So therefore, if I'm not absolutely brilliant at it, my critical inner voice might go straight to you're useless, yeah, you're a failure, etc., rather than actually, okay, I'm not good at that, brilliant at that yet, but actually I didn't do too badly and I learned from it, etc. Also does things like overgeneralizing. That's when the always comes in, or personalizing. It's always about me. Yeah, the critical inner voice likes itself, so it likes to know that it's about me. So if somebody else does something, the critical inner voice will be like, so if your friend doesn't text you back when they said they were going to text you back, then it becomes like, oh, they, it's all about me. They don't like me. They've gone off me. They're not worried about me, etc., etc. So there's lots of different things that our critical inner voice starts to do. What NLP does is start to put the pauses in place so that your critical inner voice can't run off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't get into that pattern, that loop that it can sometimes do. To put some pauses in place where you can start to question it and start to realize, well, hang on a minute, it's not that black and white, actually. Start to recognize that the things that you have been able to achieve, start to realize when you are overgeneralizing, so you can start to ask yourself questions, your critical inner voice questions, like, hang on, do I always do that? Well, actually, no, in this situation, I'm doing it. It's not an always. Actually, this isn't about me. And also it looks at lots of things that we delete and we distort into, because our critical inner voice comes from our unconscious. Okay. And then it comes to the forefront consciously when we can hear it running. So our NLP looks at some of those distortions and deletions that our unconscious mind is doing, because our unconscious mind is can be quite lazy. It likes nice, easy associations. So NLP allows you to recognize those distortions and actually those deletions that you're doing, in order to be able to control the critical inner voice and teach it new ways.
And in a sense, you know, we're actually encouraging ourselves to be a bit kinder, a bit kinder to ourselves, because most of us aren't most of the time, are we?
Yeah, absolutely. So NLP makes you realize what your voice is doing. And also how you can change the voice to make it more positive, more empowering, more realistic, more actually about reality rather than this, you know, drama scene or whatever that it's playing out. It also, NLP is really good as well, because it helps you disassociate from things, because we think our critical inner voice is us and we treat it as us. And actually, you know, a really easy little tip as far as that critical inner voice is to disassociate it by using a different pronoun. So rather than it keeps saying I, me, my, yeah, actually it starts saying, yeah, she or he. Yeah. And you can do lots of things in terms of that voice by changing it, giving it a different voice, calling it a different name, which sounds a bit weird. When you start practice doing it, it makes a huge difference, because now you can start to have some dialogue with it rather than just think this is just automatically running in my head.
Yeah. Tell us a bit more about the our sort of perceptions, Andy, and I mean, I don't know which particular angle you want to talk about, but I find it really interesting the way we perceive things a certain way, and then something can happen and enable us to do a complete 360 on it and literally see things differently.
Yeah, that's so interesting, isn't it? Because we make snap judgments whenever we're seeing anything, and that's based on our previous experiences. You know, our view of the world, our values, our beliefs. You know, we can look at something, we're making a very instant snap judgment about that evidence that we're seeing. Mm. But what we're doing quite often is inferring something. We're giving an interpretation to what we're seeing, or hearing, or reading. And that inference quite often is very wrong in comparison to maybe what somebody else meant. So we could see somebody do something, and we have no idea of the history that went just before that thing happened. Mm. And so therefore, those snap judgments can cause us to end up with a point of view that isn't necessarily the point of view of the other person. Yeah. And that's why we're often saying is that when you're having a conversation with somebody, share what you saw or heard of them as well as what you felt like because of something. So if you're having a conversation, for instance, with somebody and they've said something in a particular tone of voice, and it's not what they said, it's how they've said it, that has given you a bit of frustration, even sharing that it was the tone of voice can give the other person a little bit of a clue about why you've ended up feeling maybe differently to the way they had intended. And it can be so interesting with a snap judgment. Now, the whole principle of some of the elements of NLP is about the fact that, of course, you made a decision at the time you decided it, knowing what you knew then. And with hindsight, as we love hindsight, don't we? If only we had, if only we hadn't, yeah? With the gift of hindsight, you can literally change your mind about what happened in the past based on what you know now. And this can be so useful, particularly if it's about letting go of emotional anger or stuff around our relationships or old decisions that we made, even breaking habits and reflecting on, you know, who we are as individuals now. You know, I am such a different person to what I was like certainly 10 years ago, and even more so 20 years ago. I know
in what way? In what way are you different?
Well, I mean, literally in terms of this whole raising of my level of emotional intelligence. I'm literally 7 stone lighter than I used to be 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's amazing. Can NLP sort out our weight as well?
Yeah, it's the magic weight loss formula. Sign up now.
Perfect.
That was because I was in a really unhappy place. Mm. You know, in my life, I was in a marriage that just wasn't right for me. You know, I got probably married too young and just kind of committed and stuck with it because I thought that's what you had to do. And I just was very deeply unhappy. Mm. And that me 10 years ago was stuck, but he was stuck because he didn't know any better.
Yeah.
And if I, knowing what I know now, I could have changed things differently then, but I didn't because I didn't know it then. So therefore I have to go, well, just let it go. You know, just let go of that frustration about then and just know that I can make a different decision now and I can help other people. And this is why I certainly, you know, I do the work that I do is my passion for coaching and training other people is I know that whatever moment you're at in your life right now, whatever your next set of decisions are, you know, this moment in time is going to create a decision where you can go one way or another, or one of many ways. And you'll decide to go that the way that you go. You decide to do what you do because of whatever you know right now.
Yeah. You know? What's really lovely about what you're saying, sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just sort of thinking that certainly when we're talking about how we perceive, you know, our own thoughts and what we say, but also what our, you know, the communication, what others say to us, what's really great about this is it's going to enable us to be much more compassionate as well. You know, we're not going to sort of jump down someone's throat quite as much because we're going to have that sense of their perception, which we probably in many cases, maybe we hadn't been aware of before. Is that true, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely, because NLP allows you to put that pause in to kind of go consciously and unconsciously, okay, hang on, what's happening for that other person? So a good example of this is someone quite a while ago that I was coaching used to suffer from really bad road rage. Yeah, so anytime anybody cut him up or tooted him or anything else like that, he'd go into this automatic, you know, and fire off abuse and everything else at that other person. And then what he recognized was there were some triggers that were going on for him, yeah, and certain things that would automatically cause this emotional reaction. But also that he would he was taking it personally. It was feeding his critical inner voice that this was about him. You know, them cutting him up was actually about him and everything else like that. So what he learned to do was put the pause in, that, so that actually beforehand, before he would react, he would have a chance to pause and actually go, well, okay, so for example, well, I don't know where they're going. They could be going to the hospital. I don't know what's gone on for them this morning. They could be stressed. Mm. They could be not very confident about driving, nervous about driving or whatever. And actually recognizing he doesn't know.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, it's not about him and taking it personally. He doesn't know. Mm. Until eventually, as Andy was saying, practicing the pause in place, it became an automatic thing to do, to not react. So to actually automatically just stay calm, he could have a little mumble to himself, but it didn't become that emotional reaction. Yeah. So the automatic behaviour, the automatic response, completely damped down.
Mm. Yeah. And that's the key thing to recognise as well, Janie, as well, is that you can change and shift your mind, but it's also shifting it to something that's helpful for you as well. Mm. So for instance, quite often people have a certain behaviour, do a certain thing, because it gives them some kind of emotional payoff. So I'm sure you recognise and you're aware of. And often this is why people go, oh, I've stopped smoking, but now I'm just eating tons and so I'm getting fatter. You know, yeah. So I'm going to go back to smoking so I'll get thinner. You know, and it's nothing to do with smoking. It's nothing to do with eating. It's to do with the emotion.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is about recognising what's the emotion that something is giving them and how can they get it in a different way that is neither eating nor smoking or drinking or whatever it happens to be. Mm. And so a lot of the work that we're doing is just allowing them to recognise it and give them new options. Mm. That actually just makes sense, and that we already have the ability to be happy, sad, amazing, really downbeat, you know. And so recognizing the things that allow us to create positive resources and positive emotions and do them with intent.
All of this is so relevant for people who are sort of ditching the booze, because not only can you use these sort of tools and techniques to help you be very conscious about your choices that you've decided you want to make, rather than just automatically reaching for the wine or the sugar, but also in dealing with relationships, because, you know, people often find that they're one of the things they're most scared about when it comes to ditching the booze is what other people will say, you know, the sober shamers who are going to immediately tell you that you're no fun anymore and, you know, or go on, just have one. And some people fall at that first hurdle. So, you know, I can see that the applications for this are just absolutely amazing for people wanting to change, well, any unwanted habits, really.
Yeah, because when you think about, you know, the sober shamers, what NLP helps you do and really enables you to become empowered. So you are quite confidently able to go, do you know what? Actually, that's their stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not mine. I don't need to take on their rubbish, their stuff. You know, them calling me a sober shamer is actually, there's something about them that they're trying to reflect back on me.
Yeah.
And I don't have to take it. And NLP enables you to very comfortably and confidently and strongly be able to do that and just reflect it back as well.
Love it. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the work that you do then. Obviously give us your website. I know that you run sort of training courses and all of that, and then you also have some low-cost trainings and you know, things that sort of everyone might be really interested in.
So
our website is beyondnlptraining.com, and on there we're constantly adding free resources, free ebooks, free video trainings, free live webinars and live online trainings. We're constantly adding those to those, and also some low cost trainings as well, plus our full NLP training, which is our practitioner and our master practitioner. So that's 9 days for the practitioner of training and 11 days of training that you then go on to if you want to get really, really artful and really, really skilled in this stuff. In terms of our one day or our shorter trainings, we've got one on Saturday the 23rd of May, which is actually about releasing the negative triggers that you have. So those triggers that make you react or make you behave in a certain way. Mm. So for example, you might be sitting there. I know, if I go back to my old life, I would come in from work and kind of sit down and the bottle of wine, the reward of the bottle of wine, the glass of wine would be calling to me out in the kitchen, and recognizing that my trigger around that was actually that moment when I just sat down and relaxed on that settee. Mm. And that was a trigger. Mm. So actually, how would I better behave when, and how do I need to feel differently? So rather than feeling, oh, I'm absolutely exhausted, I deserve, I'm going through this thought process of I deserve, you know, that reward and that, yeah, that glass of wine as my thank you to me, I was able to collapse that trigger and actually, well, how do I want to feel instead? Actually, if I feel, you know, more energized, more confident, stronger in myself, I don't need the glass of wine. So we're going to do on the 23rd of May, we're running a live online low cost training. It's just £12. So if you go onto the website, you can find out about that as well.
Excellent. Andy, thank you so much. Andy and Joe, thank you so much. It's fascinating to talk to you. And I really, really, really appreciate it. It's absolutely fascinating. I think there'll be people who are just desperate to get started. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
No, thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
So make sure you check out that online event in May, and make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel. Check out some of those health and wellbeing interviews if that's something of interest to you. I hope so. Don't forget, you can still grab a copy of my free kind of PDF mini ebook. It's called How to Get and Stay Sober During Lockdown. And to get the link to sign up for that, if you go to thesoberclub.com and click on blog, you'll see that come up there. Or you can use the link in the show notes, or you can just DM me, send me your email address, and I'll make sure you get that. You know where I am on social media, at Janie Lee Grace, pretty much everywhere. You can obviously, as I say, you can go to the show notes as well. And you can find me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all of that stuff. I am still planning to interview Julia Carson. I mentioned that to you, didn't I? The sober positive, author of Sober Positive, got that interview coming up. And I'd almost forgotten that I have done an interview with Glenn Harold that I haven't even, we recorded it a while back, but I haven't had a chance to play that yet, to broadcast that yet. So you're going to love that, because Glenn is a leading hypnotherapist. So there's some similarities in to the interview that we've done today. Some of these kind of tips to help us with our mindset and with our, to retrain our unconscious mind are just brilliant, really. Also looking forward to interviewing the authors of a new book called Sober Lush. So that's going to be fun. Again, as I said, I think last week, if you've got any suggestions of people that you'd like me to interview, let me know. I'll certainly give it a try. Actually, I've got to interview a couple of Sober Club members. One of our members last week just did this lovely post about her journey and how she's found the first 6 months of sobriety. You know, the kind of highs and the lows. And it was so lovely. And I just thought, wow, I'm going to share that with you guys, you know. So I'm going to interview her. Because I think it's you know, the more people we hear from who are a few steps ahead of us, or, you know, just kind of going through this, it's just so inspiring for whatever we're trying to do. I absolutely know that for me, it was the thing that made the most, you know, the most difference. Yes, I was reading the logic, and that was really important that I understood the reasons why I was ditching the booze, and I recognized that alcohol was super bad for me, and knowing certain terms, I needed to know that was important. But I really also needed to be inspired, and just, I know I use this phrase all the time, but I needed to catch sight of life being better, because when I first started, I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't possibly imagine that life would be better without booze. I could only think of it as something that I would have to just sort of manage to be able to cope without and somehow find a new normal. There's a phrase we've all been using lately, you know, a new normal where I was kind of deprived and having to use willpower. You know, I had no concept at the beginning that actually this was worth doing because life was better. And it was because of the podcasts I listened to and the Quitlet that I read that I started to get these little glimmers of a better life. And I just think that's fantastic when we can read about other people's experiences. There's always something that resonates and makes you think, wow, yeah, I'm gonna I'm going to carry on. I'm going to push through whatever it is. I've had a couple of people that I've been coaching as well recently who are in the very early days. And again, it's reminded me, it's taken me right back to the beginning when, you know, I was on, I don't know, whatever, day five and six and all this, the weird stuff that you're just not expecting to happen, that weird leg cramps and pins and needles. And one of the clients I was coaching was talking about this stuff. And I'm like, oh God, yeah, I remember that. How weird is it? You know, just odd stuff. And I suppose it makes sense, because if you've been caning the booze for years, what a shock to the system. It's an actual stressor to the body that you know, it's having to cope without all this poison that it's been enjoying for so many years. So, you know, it's all very normal, but it's great to be able to have someone to kind of to bounce off of, really, and that's where community comes in. So whatever stage you're at, just find your tribe, get connected, be able to, you know, find a way of asking someone else, is this okay, is this how it's meant to feel, did anyone else feel this way? I think a lot of it is just that we feel very lonely at the beginning if we don't get connected. So find your tribe. Obviously, you know where we are. If you want to join us in the Sober Club, just go to thesoberclub.com. And yeah, check out that YouTube channel. Please subscribe. And I hope you enjoy some of those videos. I'll see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by the Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.